Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the Jefferson City Jays Football Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Trevor Hahn of the News Tribune. Before Trevor and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Trevor's conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
All right, so I guess we can bounce back to last week to start off here. That kind of felt like a measuring stick game with a team you guys have seen a lot over recent years. So just kind of what did you learn from that game looking back on film?
I think the greatest thing we learned is that there are growth opportunities.
Yeah, and then now you get to move forward, and it's kind of another measuring stick game. You get to see where you are against the top tier of this conference, and you start off with a Rockbridge team that's very talented. So just kind of what challenges do they present?
Well, I think the biggest challenge they present is that they're good. So scheme aside, coaching aside, they're incredibly talented. I believe they have about 111 players on the roster, so they're deep, well coached, and obviously the schemes are sound. So we're certainly going to have a heck of a challenge in front of us.
So yeah, moving into their offense, it's an offense you guys haven't really seen through the first 2 weeks of the season. You guys are pretty familiar with what they do. They're going to want to spread you guys out and kind of get their playmakers in space. So just kind of erasing the first 2 weeks of the defense. How is this week different?
You know, it's not really different in the sense that we have to tackle, we have to line up, we have to tackle, communicate. We're going to have to tackle in space and, you know, effective tackling, and we bring them down. If they want to spread the ball around and try to drive the length of the field, you know, that's one thing. We just can't give up the explosive.
Yeah, and then moving into their defense, it's a really big unit, and their front seven's kind of dominant. They're coming in, giving up 13 points through the first 2 weeks. So just kind of same question there, what challenges do their defense present?
Same, they're good. They've given up one touchdown in two games. That doesn't happen accidentally. So we will certainly have our hands full. They're a big Class 6 school, so we're definitely going to have to put some things together.
And kind of wrapping up here, you don't see it often, but they have a really dominant special teams group. Their kicker can kick it from 50 yards plus, and their punter can really flip the field. So just kind of how do you game plan for that?
We have a variety of ways, but, you know, with the high school rules, if you can't return a kick, you can't return a kick. But he's dangerous enough where they don't just have him line up and kick it out of the back of the end zone every time. We still need to be sound in our scheme and alignment to make sure that we minimize the opportunities that they have.
All righty. Thanks, Coach.
All right. That was Jay's head coach, Damon Wells. And Trevor, you know, it's never fun to get doubled up, and it's never fun to go on the road and get doubled up, but that was the case last week, losing 42-21 on Hannibal. What was the big takeaway for you from the Jay standpoint last week?
There's still some work to be done on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, there was a lot of excitement after the three-point performance the defense put together in week one, and it was kind of the big test. It's like, okay, the defense has improved, but how much? And that's kind of what I was looking for headed into last week's matchup. And the big play problem that we saw a lot last year, it wasn't necessarily a huge issue, but they did give up a few big plays. And on those big plays, it was because of missed tackles for the most part. Okay. I mean, it's a tough Hannibal team to stop. Outside of, obviously, Aeneas Williams, Mike Ferreira is a beast. That kid's huge. He runs through tackles a lot. And I just kind of... you could kind of tell watching the game that they were getting worn out throughout.
Okay.
They spent a lot of the time on the field, and that never helps. And tackling those big running backs,
right,
it definitely is a task that wears on you when you have to do it over and over again.
So is the 21 points from the offense an acceptable amount that they put out last week? Is that something that they need to improve on as well? What's your takeaway from, you know, three scores in a game like that?
You know, there was definitely stuff left, there was more that could have been done on the offensive side of the ball last week. First drive started, they were moving the ball really well. They get down into Hannibal territory, then all of a sudden penalties pop up, and they're in a 2nd and 19 or 3rd and 19. I don't remember what it was, and Jacob Wilson throws a pick. And then they were kind of behind the eight ball for the rest of that. The really big turning point in the game happened. Jeff City forced a turnover on defense, down 14-7. They get the ball back on their own 23-ish, somewhere in there, fumble it right back on the first play.
Okay.
So they have a chance to go down and tie the game, and instead they're down 14 points, and they were never able to recover from that. I already mentioned the Jacob Wilson pick. He was 4-for-6 on the day for, I think, 44 yards with a touchdown. He connected with Kendrick Johnson on it's weird saying he only had 44 passing yards, but he had a 58-yard touchdown.
Okay.
Won't get into too much of the context of that, but there were some negative screen passes in the first half. That was cool to see. That it was a little comeback route to Kendrick. He was able to make his defender miss, basically ran untouched down the sideline. There was a little bit... I was looking for a little bit more from the passing game. The interception, from what I understand, that was a miscommunication. I don't know if it was the wrong route. It looked bad, but I think that was more... problem with running the play. And then to open the second half after Hannibal went down to score to go up 21, there was a wide open touchdown on a wheel route to, I believe it was Cantrell Jordan. Missed him, overthrew him by probably 5 yards. So the two misses were big.
Okay.
with an interception and possibly missed touchdown. So I was looking for a little bit more there, but for the most part, they moved the ball pretty well.
That takes the Jays to 1-1 on the season. They will open conference play this week. They host Rockbridge tonight at 7 o'clock. There'd be easier ways to start the conference season, I would say. So, but I guess, you know, might as well get one of the tougher, better teams out of the way early if you're going to do it.
Yeah, there's no doubt this is going to be a big test for Jefferson City. And obviously being down an offensive lineman, we'll get into that a little bit more later. But it's a big Rockbridge front, offensive and defensive. Their line's big. They have talented athletes all over the place, and they run a different scheme than what Jeff City's seen. So they're going to be tested in a lot of ways tonight. So it'll be interesting to see how they respond to that.
Rockbridge is also 1-1 on the season. They have got one. Their one win, though, is the conference win. They've already opened CMAC play. They opened that last week with a 66-0 win at Smith Cotton. That came on the heels of, you know, losing 13-10 to Park Hill South in the first week of the season. So I guess the big question is kind of, you know, what do we kind of know about Rockbridge two games in the season? Probably not as much as we'll know maybe by the end of this one, obviously, but it's kind of like, okay, you know, was the first week a fluke? Was the offense, you know, not ready to go just yet, and then they got it going last week? Or is that more of a Smith Cotton thing from last week?
Yeah, it's definitely tough to tell. I mean, Park Hill South's a good team. They're an athletic classic school that matches up pretty well with Rockbridge. That looked like it was a really fun game to be at. From the stuff I watched, then yeah, you kind of have to take the Smith Cotton win with a grain of salt. 66-0 is obviously pretty impressive.
Sure.
I think they allowed 51 yards of total offense to
right.
Smith Cotton. So I think what we know for the most part is that the Rockbridge defense is legit.
Yeah.
Holding Park Hill South to 13 points, and I know one of those was a 50-yard field goal to win it, so
okay.
It's not like they allowed them to get all that close on that. So their defense has been dominant, to say the least, through 2 weeks. And
is that a player or two in particular? Is it a units type thing? What have you heard about the defense?
I know I mentioned it already, but their defensive line is really where it starts.
Okay.
They have a big athletic front four that can really get after a quarterback, but in this case, they're going to be able to disrupt the Jefferson City running game a lot. So stuff that was mentioned this week in pregame interviews, they know they're going to have to get pretty creative.
Okay.
So I would expect passing the ball a little bit more, and not necessarily all that creativity has to come from the passing game, but they have to mix up some of the things they do in the running game to kind of disguise what they want to do.
Okay. Then on the flip side of the ball, you know, is there something that... you know, what is it about the offense for the Bruins that is cause for concern, maybe, for the Jays heading into this one?
I think the biggest cause for concern is the fact that they are spread out. There's going to be 4 or 5 people lined up at wide receiver most of the plays.
Okay.
They like to get their playmakers in space, and the tackling issue that I mentioned from last week, it's going to be tested really... it's going to be a big test for the secondary this week, because they're going to throw a lot of screen passes and just go routes down the sideline and just kind of test that secondary and see what all they can do, because they haven't been tested much through 2 weeks. And the really interesting thing about Rockbridge is they use a 2-quarterback system that I've never really seen before.
Okay.
Normally when you see a 2-quarterback system, it's kind of polar opposites of each other. You kind of have the pro style guy and you kind of have an athletic guy that likes to run. They have 2 6'5" quarterbacks that love to throw the ball down
okay.
the field. It's really weird. Sam Kaiser's committed to play at Harvard next year. That's who started for him all last year. And then he's a senior, and then junior Brady Davidson has basically put up the same numbers as him. And if you looked at him, it'd be hard to tell.
Right.
It'd be hard to tell any differences. So, yeah, that kind of intrigued me when I was looking through their first two games and just how they've used him or used them. They're going to see both of them tonight, and kind of excited to see what they got.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, usually in that instance, if a coaching staff is committed to doing that, that seems to be that obviously both of them must be good enough that you want both of them to play. At some point, though, I think you have to kind of figure out, okay, this is the guy we're going to ride with, and then what do you do with the other one? But it almost sounds like it might be a little bit of we're planning for the future, too, because, you know, if we've got somebody that we know is going to be the guy next year, we've got to make sure to get him some snaps at some point, so we might as well, you know, get it out there. And then sometimes players make it tough on coaches and go, yeah, we're both pretty good, so figure it out. Well, I guess the figuring it out is, you know what, split time sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, the old saying is if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks.
Right.
So, I mean, I would expect by the end of the year when it comes postseason time, they'll only be playing one, and you kind of have to give the advantage to the senior in that case. But, I mean, they're making it pretty hard on on the coaching staff to make a decision because, like I mentioned, their numbers are basically identical.
Yeah.
And I mentioned the big plays. That's really how they've scored a lot of their touchdowns. Their lone touchdown in week one came on a 75-yard pass. I believe they had three or four touchdowns of over 30 yards last week against Smith Cotton. So, I mean, that has to be the major key when you're looking at the quarterbacks there is can you respect how they're going to test you vertically?
Maybe in this instance, if you have two quarterbacks, you have two quarterbacks. Now you have no quarterbacks. So
might have to make a new saying.
Exactly. So I guess then that means – you know, that makes me think then, okay, the secondary is in for a long night, no matter who's out there. So how ready are the Jays for this test, I guess? If that's going to be the thing where you're going to have to win a battle, that sounds like that might be the battle you have to win.
If I was to pick a level of the Jefferson City defense that me personally I'm most confident in, I probably would pick the secondary.
Okay.
They have some really good athletes on the back end, and the cornerbacks have really shown an improvement in tackling, which I've been impressed with. Josh Wilson I don't think Aeneas got away from him once last week. He was able to hit him low and kind of flip him a few times. And he was really impressive. And Kendrick Johnson just has such a knack for pass breakups and just getting around the ball. And he's obviously a really good receiver, so he can catch. And this week he finally gets the brace off. He had a broken hand all off, or wrist maybe, I'm not 100% sure on that. But he had a brace on, so he's been playing with a cast.
Okay.
So he finally gets that off this week, so that should help him a lot catching the football.
Well, while we're talking about injuries, let's talk about the rest of the team and say, how are things shaping up for the Jays at this point? You know, we're just two games in, but it sounds like it's been kind of maybe a damaging two games so far.
So yeah, I mean, obviously the big one's Brody Smith, senior offense and defensive lineman who is fielded a ton of Division I offers at this point. You can make a bigger argument he's the best player on the team, and maybe most important. They use him as a pulling guard so much, and he's so athletic and just mauls people. He's so much fun to watch. So he broke his thumb, I think, on the second play of the season.
Okay.
Played through the whole Osage game thinking he just sprained it. Come to find out that next Monday he went to the doctor, it's broken. They did some further evaluations and figured out that they should probably have surgery. He had successful surgery this week. It's not 100% sure how long he's going to be out at this point. I know he's looking at getting back for that Capital City game, so that would be big. So that would at least put him out this week and next week.
Okay.
So yeah, that's obviously a big one. And then Julius Lowry missed last week's game. I believe he's supposed to be back tonight, but that's a guy that had two tackles for loss in week one and really proved himself as a disruptor. So that would be big for them to get him back this week. And outside of that, don't really know.
Okay. All right. I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast. And I'll just ask you, can the Jays come out with a victory in this one tonight?
I mean, they could. If everything goes right, they can win this game.
Okay.
I don't expect them to play a perfect game tonight, though. I haven't seen a perfect game yet, so it would be hard for me to expect that. I'll predict them to keep it close. This is where the score comes in. I'll go 28-21, Rockbridge.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Trevor Hahn, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Trevor Hahn on Twitter at TrevHahn3. That's TREPHAHN3. Thanks for listening.